Welcome back. This is Kitchen Again, and you're listening to...
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
On Awake Radio and Shaziz.com and We Roar. WS. And I hope everybody can hear. I did have the air off on the station identification, oddball. But it should be back up and sound wonderful. So welcome back, Vinny. And thank you for being here.
I'm quite glad to be here. Always like sabotaging other people's radio shows by coming on and shining like a bright light.
Absolutely. And you do a lot for the alternative media community. You are a beacon, a bright light for a lot of people. I guess we can kind of like touch on the fact that we met as a result of an argument on 9/11. And I think it was, and it's a shame it's today and not yesterday, but it's just as well, that we were caught in a conversation, and I think it was on, was it on Skype or on Facebook? It wasn't Facebook.
I don't even recall the conversation in question.
Well, it was a friend of mine, Galen Mertzik, and he was adamant, angry, and it was one of those chat streams. That
this is across email, all these guys were really incredibly abusive and irrational and psychotic, and you know, it was just like they were just attacking me and so on and so forth. And, you know, I'm the kind of person that you don't want to attack, not because I'll attack you back and mess up your life or get revenge or anything, but because I'm actually just a really nice guy and there's no freaking point. Why? What the hell is the point? I mean, it's like, oh, look, there's a nice fuzzy chinchilla. Let's kill it.
Was pretty much, and it, you know, it's like, why can't we just agree to disagree? And a lot of people are into this trivium and how to argue and how to be thinking logical and all this other stuff. But if you don't agree with their way of thinking, then you're automatically, like, your opinion means
nothing. I'm CoIntel Pro. I'm an agent of the New World Order. Yeah, bro. I'm like, living on the bones of my ass. Been doing so for 7 years. Getting every freaking activist from here to Timbuktu on my gosh dang radio show 5 days a week. Getting no money for it. Surviving specifically on the good, decent contributions from ordinary people from my audience who donate and subscribe for $5 a month and so on and so forth so I can at least finance this operation. Living in a cold place in West Auckland, and having my family abuse me, and you know, people giving me Shiite Muslim six ways and six days from Sunday, having to block people on Facebook every other day for abusing me after I take screenshots. Of course, I'm actually building an abuse file on my computer of screenshots of all the abuse that I get on YouTube comments and Facebook and so on and so forth. Yeah, I do all of that because I'm being paid to, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, and you also, you know, did mention that you're unbiased because you'll have, on one day you'll have let's say distilled liquid proponents, and the next day you'll have alkaline water proponents. You know, you have everybody on. You have no bias about who can say what on your radio show. So I think, you know, that's probably the biggest attraction to what you do, and that's why we do it here at Awake Radio, because we want to make sure everybody's voice is heard, and it's everybody's voice is important in this conversation. So,
yeah, everybody's got a story. You've heard that saying before, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you will find the truth of that statement when you listen to the Vinny Eastwood show. And if people actually listen to my radio broadcast, I encourage you to listen 5 days a week, because frack me, I've actually saved people's lives with my radio show. One of my listeners emailed my producer like in the first year of my radio show and said that they were about to commit suicide before listening to my show and realizing that all of this horrible stuff that was happening to them in their life and all of the thinking that they were doing about the New World Order, how their family was abandoning them and everything like that, and they lost their sense of humor about it, and they were in a very dark place, and then they heard my show, they heard the wisdom, they heard the comedy, and suddenly life didn't seem that bad. So I literally have saved lives with this radio show, and that's one person person that's actually emailed us and told us that. There's probably many that haven't. And I remember I was at a protest, I think a couple of weeks ago, against the government surveillance bill. No, it was a government surveillance bill protest, the GCSB bill. They're basically passing the New Zealand equivalent of the Patriot Act here kind of thing to surveil on everything and everybody does. And one of the protesters comes up to me and he goes, Vinny, you saved my sanity, man. You know, you I would have gone nuts if it wasn't for your radio show. And he gives me a $100 note. And, wow. You know, this... And he was the second person that day to give me a $100 note out of their wallet to thank me for what it is that I do. And what did that $100 get spent on? Did it get spent on drugs? Did it get spent on liquor? Did it get spent on a strip club or what? No, it got spent on frickin' rent, food, and water. And gas, and you know, that's all I can really afford. I can afford to survive and be mobile, and that's about it at this particular point. I mean, if I was an agent of the New World Order, at least I'd be getting paid a decent wage. You know, it's like, Vinny, you know, go out and spread some BS and some disinformation and some scumbaggery. We'll give you some money, bro. It's like, oh man, I wish, you know, recruited by the FBI of New Zealand. You know, it'd be wonderful. I could just sit here and shill BS for a living and get paid a huge wage like all of these other talk radio show hosts in New Zealand do. Like this dude named Sean Plunkett. He gets on this rant against anti-fluoride people and says they're all crazy, they're all nutters, and so on and so forth. Just negative crap. And these people got no information. They got no souls. They got nothing that I want.
Yeah, it's the Bill O'Reilly method.
Yeah. I mean, Did you know that O'Reilly used to be a conspiracy theorist?
No.
He was a JFK researcher. And he realized how easy it was to manipulate people, how easy it was to lie to them, gain an audience by using pure scumbaggery. And boom, he's number one. Being a conspiracy theorist, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good person. Because there's an old saying, if you poke your head into hell, some of it comes back with you. And I'm sure many of us have wrestled with the darkness inside ourselves, this psychopathic infection that we fight against on a daily basis. We've, on occasions, hated our family, hated our friends, hated ourselves, along with hating the scumbaggery and the government and all of this other stuff. And sometimes you just got to detach. And upon reflection, you realize that, you know what, actually maintaining my sanity, maintaining my ability to be a good, decent, honorable, caring, balanced, loving person is far more important than all this rage and hate and injustice that I feel.
Absolutely. And I think everything you're saying is just pretty much the opinion of all the people that I'm involved with here at the radio station. We recently, a couple weeks ago, had the Shouted from the Mountain weekend where we tried to get you involved. And that was the same weekend, I think, as the Chemtrail March or whatever. And it was hard to get a lot of people involved. And we just really wanted people to just make a statement, whether they emailed it, texted, you know, whatever, or they actually wanted to come on, speak live over the weekend, whatever it was. And you actually responded. You know, you've given us some encouragement. You responded. That was the most important thing. And there were so many people. I have, like, almost 5,000 people on my Facebook page, and I try to engage some of the most prominent people, and most of them didn't even respond. And I understand, everybody's so busy, it's hard to, you know, pick and choose, like, what should we get involved with. And some people are skeptical and they don't understand. But the individual, Shaziz, who runs Shaziz.com, Shaziz Radio, and he has Knights of the Round Table, which is a bunch of guys that are involved in alternative energy, and they're actually building Tesla coils. And there's one in Texas, maybe two in Texas, and one in Australia, who are putting the pieces together. Or no, one's in Utah, one's in Texas, and one's in Australia. And they're putting these pieces together, and they want to have a long-distance test. And they're going to test their Tesla coil, but they're having difficulty getting parts. Like, I guess you know, in Australia, it's almost impossible to get things sent there, and it's astronomical in cost because of the distance. And, you know, and these gentlemen are just going above and beyond trying to. And Shaziz woke up one morning having a horrible nightmare. I don't know what it was, but it was enough to prompt him to want to make sure that people understood that these are our children's future that we're talking about, that we don't really have an option anymore. It's time that we have to make sure that we love one another, that we spread the message of peace and joy and love and hope and sharing with one another, and bringing all these internet radio stations together. He actually had about 43 different networks that were simulcasting or carrying the podcast that they had created on that weekend. And it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. And you know, I just think it's a time for us to come together, and I think the more that we're at odds with each other, you know, or try to find fault, you know, try to look at the tiny speck of, what is it, the speck in their eye when you got a, you know, a log in yours kind of thing, which I, you know, I don't know how that really fits, but we need to come together. We need to, you know, drop the pretense and stop trying to focus on what's wrong with the individuals and try to find out what's right, that we can do the solutions to make the change in this world for everybody, for ourselves and everybody.
Well, I both agree and disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Number one, infighting is a natural part of this. I mean, you can't wake up a whole bunch of people to the New World Order system and have them previously be part of that system where everybody's infighting, everybody's attacking each other, everybody's having one over on one another, everybody's ignorant, everybody's stupid, so on and so forth, everybody's unhealthy. And then they become part of the truth movement and expect that all of those symptoms will simply disappear overnight. Mm-mm-mm. You bring all of that with you. And people are naive in thinking that you come into the truth movement, which is about peace and love and unity and exposing scumbaggery. And then they suddenly realize that, oh my God, the scumbaggery has followed us here, that there are scumbag radio show hosts, that there are manipulative YouTubers, that there are crazy conspiracy theorists, as opposed to what you would wish is like this beautiful idealistic image of a movement that is all together, we're all one, we're all enlightened, we all know what's going on. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're divided. We're ignorant. We're unrealistic. We're naive. We're all those same things that we were before becoming truthers still. And Dean Clifford said on my show yesterday, and I'll never forget this, says, you know what the reason why all of this is happening is? You know what the cause of all these problems is? You look at that person in the mirror every day. The source of all these problems is you. And you alone. It's not the bankers. It's not the politicians. It's not frickin' Monsanto. It is you. You are the problem. Unless you're willing to solve your own problems yourself, none of these problems are going to be solved. And that's why I don't like it when people infight at the same time as not acknowledging their own faults. Whenever I infight with somebody, I acknowledge the inherent hypocrisy of what it is that I'm doing. At the same time I'm calling out and trying to help people and expose a bit of scumbaggery, I'm hurting people's feelings with the things that I'm saying and accusing them of things that may not well be true because I just don't know, and I'm just flying off the handle because I'm getting too emotional. And unless I'm capable of, like, just... Here's the thing. You ever heard of the Ballad of the Cosmic Schmuck? Cosmic meaning big, schmuck meaning idiot. How do you know if you are the cosmic schmuck? Think about it. If you question to yourself, you know, when, am I the cosmic schmuck? Then it's very unlikely that you will actually be the cosmic schmuck. But if it never occurs to you, if you never question it, if you never wonder to yourself, you know, am I the cosmic schmuck? Then it's quite likely that you might well be. Because without that self-analysis, without that ability to see the faults in yourself and to address them by yourself, without anybody's help, you're the cosmic schmuck. And people forget that. People forget they're flawed. Okay? I'm willing to admit that I'm an idiot. All right? I may not sound like an idiot. I may sound intelligent and so on and so forth. But I know that I'm an idiot. You know why? Because there are trillions of pages of documents and books and web pages and so on and so forth that I have yet to see. There are billions of thoughts that I have yet to have. There are hundreds of millions of realizations and important life lessons that I have not yet learned. And it's only once you realize to yourself how inadequate your current existence really is, you'll never actually improve yourself.
Well said. And I think after I got over the shock of 9/11 and the political devastation, that was the next thing I learned. I listened to Michael Tesserian, and he talks a lot about the problem is you, you know, that it's not being able to be in touch with your own dark side. And that's basically what he said. And that probably does more to keep this thing afloat than the Monsanto and the medications and the banksters and all this other stuff. That I personally talked to Freeman a few weeks ago, and I said on air, I really think that they put the idea, the picture in our heads, and we give it life. That's what I think. That's what I really believe. And he didn't say yes or no. I mean, I'll have to go back and listen, but I'm pretty sure he agrees with what I'm saying, because everything they mentioned before that kind of stuck in there. But yeah, we live in some incredible times. I feel like I'm privileged to even comprehend this information and of what's going on in our world. But at the same time, you know, I feel confused about how come everybody else doesn't know, and what can I do to make them more aware so we can change this. And I think it's important to always bring it back to what am I doing to keep this construct afloat, you know, to keep this thing moving. And I think that was well said.
Well, you know, everybody seeks to blame others for problems they themselves have and helped cause, you know. Like, you ever had somebody tell you a story? Like, let's say they have a bad interaction with somebody and there was some violence or some theft or some harsh words said or something like that. And they tell you their version of it, and they make themselves look like the victim in all of this, when in actual fact they played just as big a role in this incident as the other person who they're claiming is the bad one. And in the truth movement, it's full of that. You know, you've got, like, in Occupy Auckland, for example, there's a activist, 40-year activist, Penny Bright, wonderful woman, love her to bits. And she got more experience in activism than any of the other people there easily. Like the other people who were there trying to sort of co-opt it and control it and so on and so forth had like maybe a couple of years of activism under their belt. They hadn't ever effected proper law change as she had. They hadn't been arrested 22 times and won 21 times in court as she had. They got no experience comparable. And because she disagreed with the way that they were trying to run things, they accused her of being an intelligence agent. Even when it is open knowledge that she is one of the of New Zealand's officially listed list of subversives, okay, and see, this is the thing: you go into it and you're trying to do the right thing and what have you, and if somebody's actually smarter than you, has more experience than you, shows you what you can do to be more effective And because you're so full of yourself, you don't listen to them. And because they get angry with you, because you're not listening, because you're not being effective, because you're not doing what you can to help people, you see them as the enemy instead of yourself.
Right.
All right. You've got. I've got a song that I wrote about a guy named Bruce Montalvo, and one of the lines from it is, "What was it? You got desire for growth and what you think is right, but not the presence of mind to realize it's yourself that you fight. Poison in your thoughts and polluted words in your cranium. You're more frank and toxic than depleted uranium. There's nothing comparable." To yourself around the world. Okay, so, you know, I'll look at other radio show hosts and try to compare them to myself, compare and contrast. The reality is that I'm actually taking inspiration from people. And I love my job because I get to talk to inspirational people who are actually doing something right by humanity on a daily basis. Okay? Previous to doing this kind of line of work, previous to this kind of line of thought, the only contact I had with human beings was selling them things or taking orders from them. Mm. You know, that was the only social interactions that I really had with people. And I was just thinking to myself, man, how much of a wasted life is that? How much of an antithesis to personal growth and development is that? Mm. That's why I quit my slave job. And that's why I call it a slave job, because if you have to leave your house, get stuck in traffic, go to a job that you hate day in, day out, and you're never actually developing yourself in any way, shape, or form, you're not doing any self-reflection, you're not watching documentaries at home, you're not listening to enlightening radio, if you're just consuming nothing but BS, how could you think that there's anything real about you? Okay? And I think that's the reason why a lot of us truthers get really depressed and upset and angry, is because we don't value our lives as we maybe should have. We're not kind and respectful enough to ourselves to do this. I mean, like, there's 9 words and they come in threes. My 3 most hated words are I don't care. My 3 favorite words are I don't know. And the 3 words I believe are required for real, meaningful personal development are I was wrong. If you're willing to say I don't care, then this you're missing out on a value part of your humanity. Mm-hmm. If you're unwilling to say I don't know, then you're missing out on your ability to learn something. And if you're unwilling to admit I was wrong, then you're incapable of development. It's just that simple.
Beautiful. So, where do you want to go from here?
Do we have questions from the...
We don't have any more questions. I really think we wore out my girlfriend. I think April finally got tired because her questions, although they were very insightful, her perspective is of the Liberty Movement and the free man on the land. So she's very much a constitutionalist. Her knowledge is impeccable. And if you ever wanted to talk to somebody about the Constitution of the United States or any liberty issues like that, she'd either know the person to talk to or she could answer your question and tell you where to find them. And she's even written books. So she's just an amazing wealth of knowledge. And she started her own radio show at We Roar. So she's you know, unmatched in that I know of. I mean, there's other people, I'm sure, that are just as brilliant, if not more stellar, but she's really a wonderful woman in what she does, and she's very focused. So I think that's why her questions were kind of geared in the way that they were.
Well, there was a question one of my listeners asked me, a guy named Vincent, you know, where we went out to a protest together, and he says, oh, you're V1 and I'm V2. Are you thinking what I am, V1? Oh, shit, I hope not V2. And he asked me this question. And he goes, you know how I like use humor in my shows, you know, and there's often a lot of laughter. And you'll go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com archives page and you scroll down. Every time I get somebody on webcam and I make them laugh, or when we're both laughing at the same time, that is the screenshot that I take. Okay? And so you'll scroll down and you will see picture after picture after picture after picture of people laughing their asses off. Okay? Right. And I'm the only one who really does that. I think maybe in history, talking about incredibly serious, scary,
yeah,
horrific things that are mind-bendingly complicated whilst laughing your ass off.
Yes.
I mean, comedians have done it, but they don't do it while interviewing people, do they? You know? Bill Hicks, George Carlin, they were fantastic for this, and I credit them as being some of my prime inspirations for the way that I do it. And the question Vincent asked me was, you know, why don't you do... why don't you take things more seriously? Why don't you do this, that, and the other? And I say, well, can I ask you, name me one other radio show who talks about this kind of content where people use comedy as its baseline. He couldn't name me one. And so I said, what you're really asking me is, Vinny, why aren't you doing everything the exact same as everybody else is? You know?
No.
And it's its own answer, isn't it? Because
yeah,
once you fully understand what question it is you're asking, the answers themselves become apparent. And the reason I do this is not necessarily a choice. It's a lack of options. Like when I lost my job, when I quit my job, rather, it was the last job I could really do. You know, have people telling me what to do and so on. And so on. I hate being told what to do. Frickin' hate it. It's probably why I hate cops so much. You know, I mean, I'm friendly to police officers. I have nice conversations with them and so on and so forth. You know, you can go on my YouTube channel and say, Vinny Eastwood forced to stop protesting by police. And the protest lasted about 10 minutes before the cop showed up. And then me and the cop had a nice amicable conversation for 20 minutes. So, and the cop became chief star. And thousands of people watched that. And they loved it because they saw a nice, amicable conversation between a protester and a cop. Right? If you can do that at the same time as you're exposing scumbaggery, it means you're a balanced individual. And that's what I really like about myself as a man, is that I am very balanced. I am willing to listen to pretty much everybody. Unless, of course, they're just a fly off the handle remark kind of people, you know. Like the reason why I like Skype, Facebook, and YouTube, the reason why I love them all together, other than the fact that I can use them to get the word out and communicate with people effectively, is they've got a block function. Vinny, I hate you. You're a scumbag. You're a fat faggot. Block, and you never hear from the motherfucker again. You know, like, you know, when you were a teenager and you used to like break out with pimples, and you used to get this intense satisfaction when you got a nice juicy fat pimple, and you just pop it, and you go, ah, yeah, oh yeah, that kind of perverse satisfaction. It's precisely the same thing that happens when I block people on Facebook and YouTube and Skype. Vinny, I hate you. Block, and it's gone. Oh yeah, purged. Oh mate, because hey, look at it this way. How many people on the planet right now? Roughly 7 billion plus. What is the frack is the point when you've got that much choice and that many people that you'll probably never meet? What in the hell is the point in spending a large section of your time arguing with people who don't get it, or interacting with people that don't encourage you, don't inspire you, don't help you, don't enlighten you? The hell is the point? Life's too frickin' short. Block and move on. Because I guarantee you, for every one person that you wind up blocking because they're just a douchebag, there'll be another 10 people out there who you'll meet who are really loving and kind and generous and fabulous. Okay? Absolutely. Priorities, people. Priorities. You know, I was talking with... have you ever heard of Rick from Honey Radiance Radio?
Honey Radiance?
Yeah, never mind.
No.
Small little radio show.
I will.
I'm not sure if he's even on air anymore, but he'd gotten into this. This is just a case study of to illustrate my point. He's got a chat room, okay, on his radio show, and trolls kept coming into his chat room, and he would derail his entire radio show by trying to address and argue with these trolls constantly. And he was talking to me about this on this radio show, and I say, Rick, what's your priority in life? Is your priority to give your time and your effort to people who are scum, who are wasting your time, who are a waste of effort, or do you want to spend that time and effort on people who are worth it, people who are actually friendly, people who are actually kind, people who can teach you something that you don't already know? People who can actually think rationally. Penny drop for them, didn't it? Because we're surrounded constantly by negative influences. And as I mentioned with psychopaths earlier, if you keep allowing those negative influences to keep infecting your life on a constant basis, you are disadvantaging yourself, okay? You are who you associate with, okay? Right. When I was in high school, I was associating with losers, drunks, drug addicts, dropouts. Incidentally, I became a loser, drug addict, drunk, dropout. Isn't that interesting? And then when I got out of university, when I stopped working, the only people I really chose to associate with were creative people, intelligent people, kind people, loving people, enlightened people, creative people. You know. And suddenly, I've become a kind, loving, generous, and creative person. Pick yours and pick them well. If they are completely unproductive, if they're not aware, if this is a friend that you've had for 10 years, and the exact personally, the exact word go. Okay. All the friends I've ever had in high school, not one of them is a friend of today. And of all the friends that I ever had in university, not one of them is a friend of mine today. And of all the friends that I had in or previous jobs and things that I had, not one of them is a friend of mine today. I've only had one friend who has kind of stuck with me that whole kind of period of time that I was going through university and my work life before I started becoming a truther and everything like that, and that's my mate Jono. And Jono was like me at the time, you know, a bit of a drunk and some real problems kind of adapting to life. And now he's bought his own house. He's really successful at his business. He's got a beautiful daughter, a wonderful wife, and he is developing himself personally on a constant basis. Whenever he's working, he's listening to self-development tapes and so on and so forth. It's the reason why he's still my friend. Had he not gotten out of that rut that he was in, we would have parted ways long ago. But I knew, based upon his behavior, that he was capable of improving, but he just had a little bit of difficulty. So I was actually kind of his savior in a lot of ways by helping him to sort of develop himself. And as a result, I helped to actually develop my skills as at the same time, you know, and we were together like a couple of weeks ago or whatever, and stayed up all night and talking and stuff like that. And we both realized that at the first time that we met, that was when both of us were going through the very most horrifically difficult time in our lives, that we both really needed a good, solid friend to be there. And we found each other. It was like finding somebody in the dark.
Synchronistic. Yeah, it's beautiful when that happens. And you did touch on it earlier that you have to love yourself. You have to give that to yourself so you can give it away to other people. And then you attract that beauty within yourself. you know, you attract those kind of people. And the other ones are repelled. They're not hanging around. If they are, they're trying to get into the circle, but they can't really penetrate because you're not resonating with that kind of the person, that personality, character, whatever, that essence that's negative or psychopathic or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we talk a lot about labels, and you know, I try to figure out, like, I want to love everybody. I even want to love those who despitefully use me or use us. And, you know, I don't want to bring them home and, you know, live with them and do all these things. But I want to be able to understand that, like a shark, if a shark bites your leg off because you swam by it and it's hungry, you know, you can't, like, be pissed off at the shark for being a shark. You know, it does what it does. So you got to kind of be balanced, as you said, and understand, you know, what you're dealing with and, you know, move on to what's the next indicated thing, kind of. I don't know. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Well, first of all, I don't understand quite what you mean by that, because if you're swimming by a shark bites you, it's not the shark's fault. Of course it's the shark's fault. He freaking bit you. But you can't ignore your responsibilities. For example, did you know the shark was there? Did you come into that shark's territory? Did you see a fin in the water and go, no, she'll be sweet as, he's probably hunting a fat little seal or something like that, he won't come after me. Were you being naive? You know?
Well, you know, we can go really far with this, because when I came into the realization of what's happening in the world, as far as I understand it, I mean, I by no means have all the ends of it, I got really angry, and, you know, I wanted to do something. I wanted to scream and shout, and I wanted everybody to hear me, and I wanted everybody to jump on my bandwagon and let's go together. I protested at the Million Worker March, and I stood there like yards away from the White House, and I kept saying to the group that I was with, well, why can't we just go storm there? There's more of us than there are in there, and we could just break into the doors and tear it open and all, you know. And I had that anger and I had that energy, and it wasn't going to benefit me. I would have got locked up. I might have got locked up indefinitely, you know, whatever, and never been able to do the show. But it's just like the shark that bit me, you know. I got angry, but I didn't understand anything that I was dealing with. I mean, even then, I was naive, but I wasn't being naive, because I didn't understand the full ramifications, and I could say now I understand better, but I still don't understand all of what's really going on or why it's happening. You know, we try to speculate. I don't think anybody really does understand the full implications of what's happening here on Earth. So it's kind of hard to say that, you know, it was my fault, you know, because I was born into this world, into this environment, into life as it is, you know, today. But I you know, I don't believe that. I think that I become awakened. I keep listening. I try not to form too many opinions about anything, and I keep my mind open, and I connect the dots, and then, you know, literally see how everything is connected, not just people individually, but even the construct of the horrible things. There's patterns that we can see. There's, you know, follow the money, you know, or whatever. You know, we can see how all this is connected. I really wanted to maybe get your opinion about Syria a little bit before we end, because I know you
Before we do, I've got two things to add here. The person who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing. The person who believes he knows nothing obviously knows enough. How long did it take you to get indoctrinated into the system? How many years did you spend in kindergarten, preschool, high school, university, postgraduate study, the working world, most of your life, right? And you think that after a couple of years of learning alternative information that you're completely deprogrammed and you know what's going on? Frack no. You have decades and decades of relearning and deprogramming ahead of you, son. Now, yeah. Syria. First of all, it's a serious situation. The way the people are being treated is very sad. You know, it makes me a sad. And,
a sad. Me too.
Yeah. It's a very sad situation. And,
poor the, sad.
Yeah, yeah. And the person who you want to be talking to about this is freaking Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Had her on the show the other day with Dean Clifford. Unbelievable. Dig this. Israel has found a massive natural gas deposit with about $700 billion worth of natural gas. And guess who's got a deal with Iraq and Iran to build a pipeline to the sea? And so that they can supply. Syria.
Oh, Syria. They have.
Which would compete. Which would compete with
America.
Ah. So all of a sudden, it becomes very, very clear, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, why do they invade Iraq? For the oil and a couple of other objectives, of course. Why are they invading Syria? For the natural gas and a couple of other objectives, of course. It's always the same freaking thing, isn't it? Every single time that the US invades a country, it's because they want to frickin' stop them from competing.
Well, I guess is it just the prime minister there in Syria that's not being agreeable with them, that they want to oust, or is it more detailed than that?
A little bit more detailed. Of course, there's always more details. Right. First of all, when you're looking at the Syria regime, as they call them, you know, let's cross cut to our Middle East correspondent. Yes, thank you, Vinny. Regime, terrorism, terrorism, regime, veiled threat, regime, regime, WMD, terrorism, terrorism, regime. Back to you in the studio. You know, this is the adequate reporting that we're getting out of the mainstream media. It fracks me off to no end. I mean, I would if I wasn't laughing, I'd be freaking crying. Oh God, they're brainwashing everybody. They're going to try another WMD strike. Oh, there's going to be weapons of mass destruction. But instead of taking that response, getting depressed, get ridiculously angry, I choose to look at the truth of the matter. Syria has one of the highest educated populations in the Middle East. Did you know that? Did you know that more women go to university in Syria than men? Did you know that they have a hugely successful family unit structure and that divorce is virtually non-existent? Did you know that they get taken care of? Did you know that they don't even have to pay electricity bills and so on and so forth? Did you know that they've got really affordable housing and so on and so forth? No, you didn't know that, did you? You know why? Because nobody freaking reports on that kind of stuff. This evil regime that gives people free electricity and free education and and affordable housing. This evil regime, they're so bad because they use chemical weapons like fluoride to hurt its people. Even though it wasn't actually the Assad regime that did it, it was actually the Al-Qaeda people sponsored by the US, who incidentally fluoridate their water.
And there was another speculation by Joseph Farrell that said they want to bring in more of the Islamic factions, so they want to make that culture larger, so then they'll have even something bigger to fight against. So it just
Assad is secular, okay?
Right,
he's not a religious man, okay? And so when they come out, it's just a whole bunch of BS. Basically, there's two general rules for life. If you don't know the information, like if you're not actually informed, there's two general assumptions you can follow. If it comes from an official source, it's the direct opposite of whatever that official source is saying.
Right.
And if you can't make it at home by yourself in your kitchen, it's a soft kill by a weapon.
So we'll throw the water on them.
You know, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you're not. You're singing to the choir here. Most of the people listening are like, they have your back, Vinny. They're like, they're town for you 100%. They agree with you. We understand these principles. We understand what, in some respects, we're up against. We don't have all the information, of course. That's why we need to rely on each other, in a sense. Each person brings a special piece to the puzzle. But, yeah.
Yeah. It's well, you know, crazy. We haven't been taught how to think, you know, and we haven't been taught how to listen. We haven't been taught how to problem solve. And so you have to teach yourself all of those things. And incidentally, we haven't been taught how to teach ourselves either. So, you know, it's a frustrating, difficult thing to deal with in life. But hey, look, as long as you're willing to keep working on it, as long as you don't give up, you'll make progress. Okay? And that's all you got to do. You know, analyze yourself. Am I more informed today than I was yesterday? Have I accomplished and have something to show for yesterday's efforts? In most cases, the answer to those questions will be no. I'm just as dumb yesterday as I am today. I've accomplished just as little yesterday as I am today. It's like we're treading water in an ocean of scumbaggery. And it's not cool, man. You know? And there are sharks swimming around us. This is a really terrible situation. But when it comes down to it, like I mentioned with those POWs, you know, you've got to have deep faith, really. You've got to have deep faith that there is something good out there, that you are really powerful, that there is hope. Once you lose hope, that's when you start turning to the dark side, all right? Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Now, think about the wise words of Yoda. He knew what the frack he was talking about, didn't he? How many of you out there are afraid? How many of you are out there who are afraid? I mean, really, think about this. Because I hear people talking about this all the time.
Yeah.
Well, see, bravery and courage is not the absence of fear. It is the acceptance of it and accepting your responsibility at the same time to be brave, to be courageous, to fight for what is right, to tell the truth even when it doesn't serve your purposes, to accept your responsibilities even though you wish you didn't have any. That is power. New World Order knows this. They know that when people take control over their own lives, when they stop doing what they're told, when they start doing what they feel, what they know is right, that's when we become very, very dangerous to the establishment. And people need to remember that, because I've seen too many of my fellow truthers turn to the dark side, become too afraid of the New World Order to start up their own radio shows, who become too doubtful of their own ability to put out information that they never even start their own website, who become too disenfranchised with their fellow man that they never attend protests anymore, who become too blissfully ignorant of their own power that they never try to do anything and in fact try to encourage others to do nothing and tell them that their efforts are wasted, and as a result, they accomplish absolutely nothing. That is the dark side. That is not the good side of you. That is not the best part of yourself. I mean, think about it. You know, here's an example. Take me as an example. Somebody who is trying to give you motivation, somebody who's trying to give you information, somebody who's trying to give you inspiration, versus somebody else who's trying to discourage you, who's trying to get you to shut up, who's trying to get you to give up. Who are you listening to? And this aspect exists within yourself as well. Which part of yourself are you listening to?
Right. Well said. Well, we have about 7 minutes left. And I'd like to give you an opportunity, because I know you probably have lots of things scheduled coming up. So, you know, feel free to promote. And give us your websites and your Facebook page and all your little chat groups and all your fan pages, you know, and what
all of which have been disabled. All of which have been disabled since my, yeah.
All of them.
Basically. Well, my admin privileges on all of them anyway. So if you contact me through the Vinnie Eastwood fan page, I will never be able to contact you back again. If you go to facebook.com/Vincent.Eastwood, on the other hand, and you contact me there, add me as a friend, that's facebook.com/Vincent.Eastwood. That is the account that I'm now forced to use. Please add me on there. So I've gotten back on the Facebook. That was my old account, and that was my personal one, you know, for the friends and family and music gigs back when I was going out and filming them for a little bit of pocket money and so on and so forth, so I could buy weed. And the other element is I don't understand entirely what my purpose is in life yet, and I'm trying to figure it out. In the meantime, I have a website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in, go ahead, make my news. And you can go and check that out if you like. There are all free archives and so on and so forth if you support the work that I'm doing. Basically, if you support me, then by default, you are supporting the entire human race. All right. That may sound really egotistical. It probably is. But I give everybody a platform. You know, even people that I disagree with. Yeah. I bring them on so that we can hear all of these different voices, all of these different stories. Because then you get something which the mainstream media has never given you. Perspective. If you enjoy being enlightened, if you enjoy having a few laughs, if you enjoy knowing that there are people out there who actually care about the sanctity of the human species, then by all means, support the people that are doing it. If you can't do it, like if you've got a slave job, if you've got kids or so on and so forth, you've got two choices. You can either, A1, support the people who are doing the work in your stead, like me, like Chrissy, by donating or purchasing products off the websites or whatever. Or you can realize that there have been many people throughout history that had slave jobs, had kids, but didn't hide
downstairs,
behind
I was
them
the Pentagon
as an
and
excuse
an from the
to
Joint
do
Staff
nothing
call.
While their country and their human race needed them.
Perfect.
Now, on top of that, we have a number of other websites. So we've got thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, my YouTube channel, that's youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood. And we have guerrillamedia.co.nz and realguerrillamedia.com. And I think that's about it in terms of all of that. Self-promotion. Oh, excuse me. Whew, having a little bit of a
what did you
gaseous
have?
Episode here.
It must have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
That sandwich. It wasn't Vegemite something, was it?
No. It was a pear.
Oh, a pear. Is that all you were eating? Is a pear?
At least I think it was, because sometimes things are not as they appear.
Well, I hope you get to eat something. Oh, well, it was lunchtime, so I hope you get to have a proper meal. And I really want to thank you.
Well, I have a banana.
Cool. You can have that after. And thank We Roar at WS and April Rain for letting us come on tonight.
Ooh,
and
one more.
Go ahead.
American Freedom Radio.
I have to say goodbye. Go ahead. American Freedom Radio.
.com. American Freedom Radio.com. 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. 5 till 7 central is where you can listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show live. If you're in New Zealand, that's 10 a.m. through midday. I think at the end of September, it'll be like 11 a.m. Through 1 p.m. And then on November the 4th, the time zone changes again, you know, like daylight savings, and then it'll be midday till 2 p.m. So that's 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern time. And if you happen to be in the UK, the Uber Kingdom, as I like to call it, it'll be 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. 5 days a week for your listening eargasm pleasure, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chain nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where it's so irradiated that everybody got a part-time job as an energy saver light bulb.
Wow. Well, thank you, Vin Eastwood. I'm so honored to have you, and I applaud all the work that you do, and I hope that we can do this again soon, and I want to encourage everybody to listen to your show 5 days a week or seven.
It's 5 days a week, but sometimes I'm... And this weekend also on United We Strike broadcast. I encourage people to go to unitedwestrike.com and check out the schedule there, because I'll be on there this weekend.
Perfect. Okay, so I want to thank awakeradio.co.uk for sponsoring us, and for Shaziz.com, Shaziz Radio, for allowing us to simulcast. And I want to thank the Vinnie Eastwood Show and Vinnie Eastwood for being here tonight on this special, special Thursday evening. And you have a wonderful life, and we will be talking soon. Thank you, Vinnie.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you. Love you, guy. Keep it up. Should have brought your bullhorn. Do you have it? Can you say,
yeah.
Awake Radio rocks?